Okay, welcome to another audio for the TripleTradingProfits.com seminar series, and we're just continuing on pretty much from where we left off. We had a series of questions sent in from our subscribers in regards to a whole different variety of questions that traders just like you might have, and I think we got some fantastic feedback from the first audio. People are really finding this fantastic value, you know, getting insights into the way myself and Stuart look at the markets. So I'd just like to welcome Stu onto the call. You there, Stu?
I'm both.
Fantastic. We might get stuck straight into it because I suppose that's really what everybody's really keen to hear. If I read the questions out and perhaps we can just bounce some ideas backwards and forwards. The first one I've got here is, hi Stu and Dave, I've finally started to really take money management seriously, which is why I bought David's course recently. I'm currently using a fixed fractional percentage sizing on my trades and thinking in terms of R multiples rather than gains in pips or dollars, but I'm unsure how to find the percentage R value that gets the most out of systems. What are your thoughts on this? Is Optimal F the answer to this, and how do you go about finding a way to get the most out of your system? So first off, I think it was about the R multiples. What are your thoughts on that, Stu?
It's an interesting way to look at risk and you know, how much to risk on individual trades. And I remember doing a little bit of work on R multiples when I first read about them, but I went off on a little bit myself and almost found them a little bit too theoretical and not very... I didn't find it helping me too much in my day-to-day practical application in my trading. But I think, like, what they're saying, what they're asking about how to get the most out of things... You and I have spoken about this many times, Dave, about the importance to test an approach and go back over historical data to try and tweak little settings here and there to try and get the most out of things. Whether you do that testing or actually analyse your real trading over an extended period of over 6, 12, 18, 24 months, and then go back and see how things would have been differently if you'd perhaps arranged your risk management and position sizing differently, I really think that's probably the best way to do it. The testing to go back and try to tweak the risk management and, you know, how much you're risking on every trade.
Yeah, I think for those who don't know about R multiples, it might be worth, jumping on Google and having a quick search to do a quick definition. But you'll find a lot of the times people also talk about it in terms of what sort of return they're getting as well, so comparing your risk to your potential reward. And I'm not a huge fan of almost trying to predict, what sort of profit multiple I'm looking at getting on any one trade, because, you know, I like to ride the trend as long as it's going to go. And I find when you start to think in your head, okay, I'm looking for a certain multiple of profit before I'd exit, it's almost like in your head you're putting it out there that you're looking for, you know, a certain return before you'll consider exiting, I don't really find that helpful. Another thing as well, he did mention was the optimal F, and again, without going into a huge amount of detail, it's probably a little bit outside the scope of what we'll cover on this call, but if you do a quick Google search to find out a little bit more about it, for me personally, I've never sort of really looked into great detail. Is a reason for that, I suppose one of the main reasons being the optimal F strategy, it's one of its biggest criticisms is the fact that it's quite risky. And it's all about position sizing. And the reason it's quite risky is because it has the potential to mean that you take excessively large positions when trading. And for me, you know, trading is all about managing your risk, and, you know, I'm not looking at putting all of my eggs into one basket and, you know, hitching the profitability of my trading system based on one trade. That's really where, you know, money management comes into play and making sure that you set appropriate position sizing for that. So, but I think just to come back to what Stu was saying, finding out, which is how this gentleman must have, or lady, finished asking their question, how do they go about finding a way to get the most out of your trading system? It really is testing. That's back testing is that way. That way you can sort of, you know, tweak your system and then see what sort of results you're getting. So,
Yeah, agreed. And I also echo your comments before about the risk reward, and that's certainly an application of R multiples. It's the, I'm about to enter this trade. What's the potential profit I can take out of this trade? What can I reasonably expect to get out of this trade? You then take that as a, you know, a ratio or relationship to that R multiple, your initial risk. We work for that risk-reward ratio. We want that to be more than 2-1 or so forth or whatever we set. In other words, we want the potential profit to be at least twice what we're risking in that trade. But I totally agree with you, and I've always done that. I never set profit targets. I never set a ceiling or a limit on what I think I can achieve in this trade. I think to obtain that risk-reward ratio, you're forced into doing that. You're forced into what can I possibly get out of this trade? And you almost then... almost resigned to the fact that if you do get there, you're almost happy and you're prepared to perhaps sell and get out of the trade, whereas that violates one of those time-tested rules of letting your profits run. So,
yeah
I think it's an interesting comment you make.
Yeah. So looking on to the next question. Now, the next question is quite a large question, so perhaps I'll try breaking it in half. And then we can try and answer it in two sections. The first one is, what typical annual rate of return would a successful trend-following trader realistically earn trading equities / CFDs in Australia? Well, for starters, that's two massively different markets. But equities / CFDs in Australia, assuming they use a mechanical home trader-style system. I'm not asking for a theoretical answer from your experience. Can you simply quote some typical examples of cases you know of people who are making money in Australia where you have access to some facts about their track records? I ask this because I find it extremely difficult to access this kind of data, even just a few examples. Just talking about that, I suppose firstly as well, just to touch on the home trader style, I might comment just briefly on that, being that I used to do some training for Home Trader. And actually that was the organisation that Stuart used to train for before, like many years before that. It was known as Day Trader, and then it actually changed hands. So, but in regards to their styles of different systems, I think it's probably, there is a reason why this information isn't quoted. How, obviously, it's very personal, and, you know, neither Stuart nor I could say, oh, look, here's one, a trader that I'm coaching, and here's the results that they're getting. That's, you know, that I wouldn't feel comfortable for privacy issues just passing out info. But if mentioning that home trader style system, my suggestion firstly would be to have a look at, I know Home Trader has a thing called, I think it's the Gun Trader Competition, and they do actually log the actual trades that people take and the results that they're getting as well. Obviously, you need to look at what instrument you're trading, because, like I mentioned right at the start of the question, comparing equities to CFDs, that's you're comparing an unleveraged instrument to a leveraged instrument, so you can get some massive results there. But what are your thoughts on this, Stu, as far as what could someone, a successful trend follower trader, you know, perhaps target for, or you know, at least have a target to shoot against?
Sure. I mean, I echo your comments earlier about privacy and confidential information. Certainly, a lot of my clients do disclose, you know, A, their trading capital, so we can work with that and what they have done in the past. And I do know of some people who have done extremely well trading, and they do it on a regular basis. And some, you know, I guess he doesn't want, you know, theoretical type responses. He wants actual figures. It's difficult to comment on what other people are doing. I think it's a very private matter, you know, how much money you make or how much money you make in trading or what your net worth is and all. I think it's a very private thing. But I think I will talk theoretically, and that is, you're looking with CFDs, clearly the potential profit, not the profit, the potential profit is far greater than what you'll you know, possibly see trading equities, trading stocks. But you've got to use that word potential, because there's absolutely no certainties with trading. There's no guarantees. One thing I will comment about different trading styles, however, is as soon as you're taking on leverage and the potential profit is greater, there's two other things you need to consider. The risk, not potential risk, because the risk is certain. Risk that you are taking is far greater when the potential profit is greater, but also the difficulty. the difficulty to trade those instruments and do it well, it just becomes more and more difficult. CFDs are far more difficult to trade than just stocks. A lot of people think trading stocks is hard. When you go on to other more leveraged, high-risk instruments like CFDs or foreign exchange and others, it actually gets more difficult to trade those things. So all the attributes we talk about and need to trade well are just become even more important when you're trading more leveraged instruments where the losses can be far greater, the risk is greater, and things are happening a lot quicker. Again, also, it depends on what the market is doing. The last three or four and a half years, equity markets have performed really, really well, and it's been quite difficult not to make money trading shares in the last 4 years or so. It's been difficult not to make money. So to quote figures from the last 4 years may be a little bit different to perhaps what a longer-term average may be.
Yeah, and it's funny, the other thing that people need to bear in mind is if you quote numbers and returns, there's a certain expectation at that point in time of the person hearing those numbers to go, oh, look, that's where I'm going to try and be targeting and get my system to. Yet they might be coming from a completely different world where they, have lower, they're less comfortable with risk, and they're not looking at taking on as much risk as the person who is quoting their return. I'll give you an example. I know, to take it back to Home Trader, for their gun trader competition, there are traders in there who have returned. Now, this is trading CFDs, and they have recorded these results, specific trading results, all backed up, because as part of the competition you have to prove the trades. But if the reason I'm going to throw out the high end for people is so that they can understand where I'm coming from. Someone, I think it was about 3 quarters ago, made over 220% return for the quarter trading CFDs. Now, I had the good fortune of being able to chat with the winner of the competition, and he told me that his system was guaranteed to lose his trading float. It was like two or three times, like as in the drawdown, the value of the entire trading float, you would go into the negative two or three times. Now, to trade a system that, gets those sort of returns, the risk that he's taking on board, it's almost like he was throwing, a dart at the dartboard and got absolutely fantastic returns, but there was a very huge chance, in fact it was better chance than not, that he would have lost all of his money, but it just so happened that, the dart hit for this particular thing. So bear in mind when people do quote results, it really does need to be taken back to the individual. What level of risk are they happy to take for take on board? What's the market doing? All those different variables that Stuart did sort of touch on there. I think another good thing to do as well, I suppose, because I feel like if the person who asked this question feels like maybe we're dancing around the question, is you really do need to do a little bit of back testing. That's what back testing is all about. If you're doing appropriate back testing, you can get an idea as to what your system would have done and performed over, a certain time frame. That's really the best idea, because that way what level of risk does this system have? What level of drawdown is it having? Is it something I'm comfortable with? And then on the flip side, is it producing the type of returns that I'm looking for? So I think He goes on in the second part just to mention about particular markets accessible, which one typically provide better returns, and then mentions a few different markets, which I think Stuart kind of touched on, that idea of, once you start looking at other instruments, you're introducing that leverage, and whether or not leverage is good or bad really depends on whether or not you're profitable or not. So,
and you're comfortable trading with that risk.
Yeah. So I think, really, to my understanding of where this particular trader is, it really makes me feel like perhaps they're new to the market, just getting started out, and he mentions that he's looking to get an idea of fruitful avenues and to pursue or bypass certain avenues. If you're new to the market, don't you know, be swayed or, you know, talked into trading markets like the Forex and things like that with this huge amount of leverage, because it sounds like you're new to the market. Being new to the market, start with unleveraged instruments, start with stocks, and prove that you can be successful there before you start moving outside of that. So.
Yeah, I strongly agree with that. For someone who start, I'm not, we don't know if this person's just starting or not, but for generally speaking, for someone who's never traded before, to consider trading a product which has leverage and a high degree of risk, to me it's just pure craziness. It is just absolutely crazy. I mean, unless you've got the money and you can afford and you're prepared to lose it, that's all fine. But so far as, you know, you really got to get the grounding, establish the foundations, have a good profitable period of trading, just easy, an easy product like stocks. And once you get the comfort and all that, then you can move on to something else.
Yeah. The next question I've got here for you, Stu, is when a market gap opens and runs through an exit signal, do you exit on a break or wait for a close?
Very, very common question. So we're in a position, we're very close to our stop, we're trading during the day, the price trades down through our stop loss level. What do we do? Do we wait for it to potentially, you know, come back up and close above at the end of the day, or do we just take it right there and then? I think it really depends on your own personal situation. I say that because I don't think there's a right or wrong answer to this. I don't think that one way is better than the other. What I think is important, though, is you remain consistent, because you'll have one trade where you get out, but sure enough, by the end of the day, it closed back up at the stop, and then it continued on its merry way, and you think, you know what, I should have just waited during the day and saw what happened by the end of the day. So you change the way you look at this situation. The very next trade, guess what, it trades down through your stop during the day. You think, no, last time I didn't wait today, you know, I'm changed, I'm going to wait. Guess what? It just continues to fall during the day and you end up with an even greater loss. And what happens is you just keep chasing your tail, changing the way you do this. That's why I think it's important to remain consistent. And depending on the situation, a lot of people simply don't have access to markets and prices and brokers and everything during the day because of what they do for a living. If that's the case, then you may be forced into waiting till the end of the trading day, seeing what happens that day, look at the night time and then place an order to get out perhaps first thing the next morning. Others may be fortunate where they can be alerted through an SMS on their phone or something, or even have conditional orders set up. If the exit is triggered, they, you know, are automatically alerted to that fact. But I really make the point to answer the question, I don't think one way is better than the other. I think you just pick a method that suits you and remain consistent.
Yeah, agreed. The next one I've got here is 29. It's, again, quite in-depth. It looks like we've got some people who are really looking for a blueprint and a method for designing trading systems. And this particular person says, I need specifics. That's how they open out. I've got, what are some of the entry signals you look for medium term trend, 1 to 6 months? What are the indicators, indicator settings? Go through an example, look at a monthly chart, weekly, then daily. Then are there reasons why I like all the charts continuing? These are indicators I use and are setting up and settings. The stocks looks good to buy. Then what is our exit point? Wants to know money management rules, what they are, give some figures, facts and guides of rules of thumbs and some sort of starting point. I know everyone is different, but let's start somewhere. An example, let's say Joe Blow's specific trading method and system. This is what he does. This is how he does it. I guess anything specific in nature would be great. Thanks, Jason.
How long we got, Dave? We've been going for a while. Look, specifics, you talked about medium-term trading, didn't you?
Yeah, that's right.
Very much along what I do with my retirement, my superannuation fund, there's more of a medium-term, several months versus, you know, a few days or a couple of weeks. Entry signals, I've always made it quite clear to people I coach and people I speak to, my entry signals for medium-term trading is incredibly simple, and that is I often look for stocks that are at either all-time highs or new highs for a long period of time. In other words, a new 12-month or 18, 24-month high. Many, many stocks over the last 4 years, with the way stock markets have performed, have been on a regular basis achieving all-time highs. Now, the problem with that entry signal is not that it's too simple. I think that's a positive. But the problem with that signal is it almost goes against our natural way of looking at stocks. I think if you've never traded before, you often want to buy things cheap and then sell them at a higher price, obviously. So we look for bargains, we look for value, we look for things that are cheap, thinking that if we get in at the ground level, we'll do really well when they move up and we realise a profit. I guess my way of looking at things is I want to buy things that are expensive and then sell them when they're even more expensive, if that's a way of looking at it. So I think it's a difficult thing to accept. Why are you buying something that's now at $4.50 when 6 months ago it was down at $3? Surely you're buying at a high. And then 12 months later, guess what? It's $8. So I'm really, really happy to report it at $4.50, even though at the time it looked like it probably wasn't a good opportunity. So my entry signal is very, very simple. I want an established trend. I want some trading, you know, at an all-time high or near to a new high. Indicators to me have less relevance when you extend the trading period, if that makes sense. I think when you're trading shorter term, looking for reversals, some of those tech indicators can be quite useful at picking those reversals with Bollinger Bands or the parabolic or stochastic oscillator and the like. But I think when you move out to more medium and longer term trading, I don't think the indicators really have much value. So I don't use any indicators unless you call a moving average an indicator. Because I certainly use a moving average. It's one of the easiest ways to identify a trend is throw that line on there and it just, you know, provides you a general indication of the average direction of that price. So I certainly use a moving average. If you want to call that an indicator, then I use that as an indicator. What else? Sorry, then, what else is your question?
You mentioned money management. What are some figures and things to do with in regards to money management?
With stops and everything?
Yeah.
Sure. I think with medium-term trading, your stops are generally going to be a little bit further away than if you're trading short-term or a more leveraged instrument. A good rule of thumb, and I think I heard him say rule of thumb, a good rule of thumb is 10% for a medium-term stock trade. It's easy to calculate is probably its greatest advantage. It's, you know, $2 to take 10% off that is easy to calculate to identify your stop. But I think you'll find that 10% for a perhaps mid-cap or large-cap stock, 10% is a long way to fall. So you're giving that stock a lot of room to move for it to develop into that medium-term trend and see it develop over months, that 1 to 6 months that they mentioned, as opposed to getting out next week because it came back 2 or 3%, which, you know, is not a huge move in anyone's books.
It's funny, I've jumped ahead as well, having a look at the next question. It's funny, really, how you see many times, you know, a lot of people have very similar questions, and I almost feel like the question that I had just asked you had almost been echoed, but in a much simpler format. So the next question actually says, I'd like to know how to design a trading system from scratch. I mean, where do I start? That's where everybody is when you first get started trading. And like a real quick overview, and I think this will be helpful for Jason from the question before as well, is there really is a process and a blueprint. And I know with what we're planning on going over at the Triple Your Trading Profit Seminar, we really are looking at giving that blueprint. We're looking at giving, you know, some specifics, some rules of thumbs, almost some guides so people know, I've mentioned before, almost like goalposts to try and shoot between. So it is a little bit difficult to try and say, well, here's a complete system and here's exactly how you design it just in the short call that we've got today. But this is the sort of thing that we'll be covering at the Triple Your Trading Profit Seminar. We're going to talk about, you need to know your objectives. You need to, once you know your objective, make sure that you pick the time frame and the market that will help you achieve those objectives that you're looking at doing. Then you need to design your entries, exits, and money management so you've got the system. Then you need to do the appropriate back testing and tweaking to make sure all that's in place, and then you trade. There is that step-by-step method for doing it, and I think for those interested, definitely, if you're new to trading, and you haven't got that system yet, or even if you've got a trading system and you're looking at improving that to make sure you, you know, you've crossed all your T's and dotted all your I's, that's really what we're going to be able to do at the Triple Your Trading Profits seminar. It's a small event, so it'll be a very intimate group, and you can ask your specific questions and really get the answers you need to move through. But Stu, as far as, you know, designing a trading system from scratch, did you have any points you wanted to add to
Sure,
that?
I do. The where do I start? The where you start is a self-assessment. The reason I say that, to a real key to trading well in the markets is to have a trading plan, a trading system that is right for you, that you are comfortable with, suits your risk profile and all that. So it just suits you to a T. You and I know, and it's cliche, there's no perfect trading system. There isn't. But the real key is to developing that approach that is right for you. How do you do that if you don't assess yourself first? Just like what you spoke about before with, you know, the goals and objectives and our own characteristics and strengths and weaknesses. Now, you know, Dave, how I was interviewed for that new book coming out in America, and one of the questions was, what advice would you give a new trader? And if I just, I won't read it word for word, but I just had it here recently. I was just looking at while you were talking then. Just some of the things that I said would be advice to give to a new trader. I'll just quickly go through it, and as I said, I won't read it word for word. And this was in no particular order, but it was be humble. You've got to learn to be humble because you won't get every trade right. Be committed because trading is not as easy as you think it is. So if you go into it thinking it's going to be easy, you probably won't, you'll take a little bit half-hearted. Educate yourself is an important step. Be patient, take it slowly, keep things simple, be realistic, focus on the right things, and then whatever you do, commit yourself to protecting your trading capital. Because if you run out of money and you don't protect the capital, you can't make money, and that's what we want to do. We want to make money. So that's just a quick snippet of my response to that particular question.
Perfect, perfect. And I think that, yeah, that's something I think I've heard you touch on before, that whole idea of, you know, what's trading about? Trading's preserving your capital, because if you don't have any capital, you can't be trading. So do that as your primary concern. So I think that's some
absolutely
fantastic advice. I've got the next question here. What indicators are the best and reliable to assist in determining good entry and exit signals? Which trading method is the best to limit risk and reap huge profit? What are the best mental preparations to fight against fear and greed? And what are the best money management in trading?
So the first bit about that was indicators,
yeah,
is that right? Did they talk about trading style? Like, did
the best and reliable indicators to determine good entry and exit signals. It's funny, this person's asking a lot to do with what is the best.
Unfortunately, I'm not going to be the best person to answer this about indicators. Again, I openly declare that I don't use any myself. I think a lot of them are gimmicks, and they're just, you know, computer-based manipulations of data and to draw different lines. And I think a lot of indicators only lead to complicate matters. You know, I'm just not a big fan of indicators. I guess one of the reasons why I say that is, I guess twofold. Number one is I've done a lot of testing myself and determined that none of them really provide a significant advantage. Therefore, why do I bother using them? Because they don't provide me that edge that I probably want them to. But the other thing is, before computers were a household item, a lot of people were trading markets and doing really, really well. And guess what? Computers weren't around, and none of these indicators were around. Yet people were still making heaps of money trading. So to me, it's not a key. It's not a must have it in order to trade well, because people have proven for years and years before computers were around that you actually didn't need indicators to make money trading. There were far more important things. So, unfortunately, I'm not going to be the best person to answer about indicators. I mean, there's hundreds out there, but look, I guess you can start with the most popular ones. If they're popular, people must like them and like what they give them. And we could rattle off, you know, 10 easily now, things like the stochastic oscillator MACD, on balance volume and directional movement, and the list goes on. So
yeah, with that as well, I know that's a big thing of, as we're in the process of preparing for the Triple Your Trading Profits seminar, that's something that I'm really planning on on almost extracting from the way Stuart trades the market is, okay, if he's not using indicators, what is it that he uses? So for those interested and who do want to find out a little bit more, make sure you do come along for that, because we'll actually be talking, okay, well, what is it then we're looking for if we're not looking at specific indicators? And another thing I wanted to mention here as well, he asks about the best mental preparations to fight against fear and greed. And I think one of the best things, or the way that I like to approach it, is almost in the mindset of I'm trading this system for someone else. It's almost like this, when I'm trading, it's my job to follow the system. And, you know, if I don't follow the system, I'm going to lose my job. So to a certain extent, that's the way I really try and keep the discipline there, and that really fights against the fear and the greed, because I'm really just focusing on trading the system. I know Stuart, a big part of obviously his history with being in the army and all the discipline and things like that, it's almost just second nature for you now, Stu, I imagine. Do you have any...
Yeah, it is, but I know how lucky I am that it is just second nature. The point you made about your job and everything is something that I spoke to Dr. Alexander Elder about some time ago when he was in Melbourne, and we spoke about that. He referred to it as a clerk for your system, an administrative person who literally was just handed a trading plan and you just had to follow it. And to follow it, so far as understanding what you had to do, was really, really quite easy. You could give it to a child and they'd be able to follow it. But of course, as soon as we enter the equation, we make it more complicated or try to bend the rules and not follow them. So I think that's a good one. The other thing with preparing yourself with all those emotions is to treat trading like running a business. And anyone who's run a business knows that you make some good decisions and some not so good decisions. And some of those decisions have you losing money, but at the end of the day, you accept it as just the way it is. It's par for the course. It's just part of running a business. And I think if you can help yourself realize that some trading decisions you make will result in you losing money, but that's just the way it is. I think that can, you know, that running a business can help you mentally prepare that, you know, okay, I have a losing trade. Everybody has losing trades. The real benefit of that is that I cut it to a minimum loss. Let's move on. I've still got my capital. Let's move on to the next trade.
Yeah. I think that's the best way to approach it too. I've got, I was just reading ahead as far as the next question as well. Someone had sent through, they're saying, when day trading, the weekly stochastic is overbought, the weekly 14-day RSI is moving down from the middle, downslope, the daily stochastic is also oversold, and the RSI is ticking up from two-thirds down, downslope. Price and indicator slopes are moderate. What is the share price going to do? And there's high volumes.
You lost me. I guess I'd have to, look, honestly, I'd have to obviously get up a chart and have a look specifically what that person is asking. But just one thing that you need to be very clear of is, even though I looked, even if I put it up on a chart, his description of what he's seeing may be different to what I see. So I think I heard you say middle or downslope or and high volume. See, I may interpret high volume or downslope or other things differently to this particular person. So even if I was to make a comment, I may be looking at a different chart or a different setup. But one thing to be, the last bit of the question was, what is it going to do, right? The share price going to do? The easier answer is, who knows? No idea. Who knows what's going to happen if we have that particular setup? The price can do whatever it's going to do. There's obviously no guarantee, and we try to use the word certainty in trading, but there's not too many certainties in trading. And this is one thing I learnt off Ray Barros when I met him and spoke to him earlier this year. He talked about human beings yearn for certainty. We absolutely want certainty in so many things in life, and trading's no exception. So we want this particular setup that this person may have just looked at a chart that he's about to buy something in and has described what he sees on the chart and wants us to make a comment, perhaps to give him some confidence that, yes, I think the same and I want to buy into it. But we want that certainty after we see that setup. We want the certainty of what this chart is now going to do. the reality is, of course, there is no certainty. And the sooner we dismiss that, the want for the certainty, the better off we'll be. Trading, when we're looking at charts and setups and everything, is more about probability. And over time, what's the likely outcome going to be? And then we can trade on that probability. And if the likely outcome is 10% of the time it's going to go up, but 90% of the time it's not going to go down, then from a probability basis, we can perhaps make a decision based on that.
I think that was the biggest sort of nail that you just hit on the head there, that idea of that's what trading's about. It's about designing that system that puts the odds in your favour. You're never going to get it 100% right. You definitely can't predict. But what can we do to put those odds in our favour to make sure that, you know, in the long run, we end up taking more money from the markets than we end up giving back to it? So I think, you know, that's, again, I hate to keep coming back to it, but that's what the Triple Your Trading Profits seminar is all about. We're teaching you how to design a system that puts those odds in your favour. So I've got another question here as well, Stu. What different exit signals are used for daily, short-term delivery and medium and long-term delivery? So it looks like someone's wanting, in regards to short-term and longer-term, what are some actual exit signals? Please give some new ideas on indicator stop losses.
I don't know if I'll give any new ideas, because a lot of these principles that work in trading are time-tested. There's been many, many people that have come and gone before you and I who have traded the markets and done it really well. You know, the idea of cutting losses and letting profits run and following the trend, they're not new ideas. I mean, they are time-tested principles that work. So his request for new ideas, I don't know if we're going to be able to pull anything out of our hat. But back to the question of the different time frames, before I give specific examples, I think a key general rule with exits is the longer your time frame, so the perhaps more medium and longer term style of trading, the longer that time frame, the bigger your stop is going to be away from the price, the bigger the gap between the price and your stop, the greater the distance. And as soon as you bring the time frame back into a more shorter term or even intraday sort of trading, the tighter your stops are going to be, simply to reflect the trading style and the trends that you're identifying. So if we're trading short term and just looking at short term trends on a daily chart and looking to trade the reversals, we're most likely not going to have our stop 10 or 15% away, because we're really just looking for that short term uptrend over the next 3 to 5 to 7 days. So based on that, our stop is going to be a little bit tighter, and we may just use a simple stop like we've mentioned before, lowest low. Perhaps you take, since you entered the trade, what's the lowest low just in the last day been? Put your stop just below that. Let's say we're in the trade now and the stock moves up the next couple of days. As the trading range moves up for the next 2 days, place your stop just below the low of the previous day. Just a very simple trailing exit. Simple to implement. It reflects the trading style that you're trading, and it's just easy. So there's some simple examples. We've mentioned volatility before, using average true range, your lowest low, just a simple percentage fall. There's a lot of different ways, but I think the overriding general rule of thumb is the longer your time frame, the further away your stop's going to be.
Perfect. All right, I'm just having a look here. I do have one last question. I know this is probably running a little bit long, because I know sometimes it's good to keep the audios short so that people, you know, depending on how they're listening to it on their iPod or in their car or however, but maybe we'll quickly run through this last one I've got here. I've got, hi Stuart and David, I started the past few months buying call options on the second Friday of every month on both the QQQQ and the Dow Jones. Options expire the same month. This strategy has been working fine for me. Is there any way to backtest this strategy? So it sounds like he has got a method of buying call options, that pretty much he's buying it on a certain day and it's expiring, and he's curious to know if this can be backtested. What do you think on that, Sue?
Yeah, the simple answer is, if you have the data, there is software out there that allows you to backtest. But it's like anything, the key is having the data of perhaps the underlying price and the option price. If you can get the data for it and in the right format, there's plenty of software out there that allows you to test. So the easy answer is yes, you can test it.
Perfect. And then it's a two-part question. And the second part is, what is the best trailing stop loss strategies for the option trading? He's thinking about a 12% trailing and cut loss and a stop loss of 25%. Is there any chance to back test this approach for both? His trading method that we were talking about as far as buying the options.
The back test question is yes, of course. Again, if you have the data, there's plenty of software that allows you to do that. The best trailing, again, is on the underlying. So if we're doing those indices and that, there may be a particular, you know, they may have certain volatility that forces you to use a certain type of stop. But I think the key with derivatives, like with options, is your stop really should be based, and in fact, before we even enter the trade, any analysis should be on the underlying itself and not the option price. So the idea of bringing up a chart of an option price to conduct some form of analysis is really nonsensical. So any analysis before entry needs to be done on the underlying, and I think when you place stops and everything again, it should be done on the underlying and not the option price. So just having a set, look, if the option price falls X percent, I'll get out. The reasons why you got into the trade in the first place in the index may still exist. So you may still have every reason in the world to still be in the trade. It just so happens that the option price, the market makers or registered traders or whatever they are, have shifted and certain things have happened in the option price, but the underlying may still be okay. So I think it's important you do the analysis on the underlying and not necessarily the option price. But the testing, yes, you've got the data. There's software out there that allows you to test.
Another point I wanted to make as well, because I think this really illustrates that it does depend on the strategy that you're taking. And I know for me personally, a lot of the time I talk about, and as the steward, you know, we're talking about riding the trends as long as we can, and we never sort of really look at, for that particular type of trading, setting profit targets. But I do know of, as well, this is more something to throw out there for Poor, if you wanted to do some testing, I would only look at doing this particular method or part of including it in part of the testing when you're checking out a strategy. If you're looking at instruments that do expire, if there is a set date, and obviously, you know, as we know with options, two-thirds of the options pricing value, it loses its value in that last one-third of its life. With that in mind, and the extreme sort of leverage that you can get, especially with, you know, options out of the money and that sort of thing, because of that leverage, you might also look at setting profit targets. Now, I know initially I get that little feeling like, well, that doesn't sit quite right with me because being such a trend-following trader, but for instruments that do have an expiry, I have had clients and do have clients who use that and use it quite successfully, but again, you need to make sure that you do appropriate testing for that as well. So I think that just about wraps up everything that we were going to cover in this audio. We've still got loads of questions we're working through, so Stuart and I, we've been chatting about perhaps even scheduling a few more calls than we'd initially planned, just to make sure that we get everyone's question answered. So if you have got any other ones, try and shoot it through, or if you're really looking at, you know, attending the event, if you're in Melbourne, Australia on the 24th of November, you should definitely check it out because it'll be fantastic of an event, and I don't think you'll ever get an experience quite like this to work so closely with Stuart and I in designing profitable trading systems that are based, you know, on you, basically. So that's really what the seminar's all about. There was one other thing I wanted to mention, Stu. I had a couple of people who had shot through emails wanting to find out a little bit more about some of the material that you do. I was wondering, what would be the best place to send people if they wanted to find out a little bit more about you?
Probably the website, the main website I maintain is my trading plan website. So it's trading-plan.com. And has a lot of articles that I've written and different bits and pieces and what I'm up to. So that'd be the best spot, trading-plan.com.
Perfect. I think, you know, you'd be well advised, people who are listening, go over there, check it out, sign up for the newsletter, and I suppose really get familiar with the quality content that we put out there, so you'll feel even more comfortable, and we hope you can attend the Triple Your Trading Profits seminar. So again, if you want to find out more, that's tripletradingprofits.com. So thanks for that, Stu, and look forward to the next call.
Thanks, Dave.